You are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers. Brian Peacock with you on this Friday edition. It's going to be a little bit different to end the week because there's no Sunday football game. We've got Monday Night Football, so I'll save the keys to victory for the 49ers against the Buffalo Bills until Monday's episode. We have the best sound of the week, 49ers press conference, some players fired up right now, I think. We'll hear from the coaches, Robert Saleh, Kyle Shanahan, and a secondary that's playing at a high level despite some injuries. How will those play out, and how will players fill in for especially that nickel corner position this week? This season has been extremely different, as we all know, continues to be that way for the 49ers, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day no matter how you watch this season. Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. Because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. At BD Peacock is where you can find me. You can also email the show, LockedOn49ers@gmail.com. We will be dipping back into that mailbag next week on probably Wednesday with Nick Winkler, because Tuesday is going to be the rapid react episode following Monday Night Football. I have a pretty good idea of who's going to play in that game Monday with the latest injury report after practice Friday in Arizona. More on that in just a minute. And we'll hear from 49ers defensive coordinator Robert Saleh. But there continues to be so much smoke with him becoming a head coach this offseason, specifically with the Detroit Lions. And he is a native of the state of Michigan, coached there, played college ball there. And now even legislators in the state of Michigan are writing letters to the Lions imploring them to hire Robert Saleh to be the next head coach of the team after they fired Matt Patricia and they fired GM Bob Quinn. And you would think, especially during a pandemic, that state representatives would have more important things on their plate than to write letters about who the next head coach is going to be for their pro football team in Detroit. But apparently not. And who knows, if Robert Saleh can bring together both Democrats and Republicans, who both apparently signed this letter, if he can bring them together, then maybe he's made of the right stuff to be an NFL head coach, and maybe even some more important things that he could be doing than coaching football, if that's the case. But this is what was written by Representative Abdullah Hamoud and his staff. They wrote a letter to Lions owner Sheila Ford Hamp, asking her and really pleading with her to hire Robert Saleh as the guy, like not find a good head coach with certain qualities, hire Robert Saleh. This is part of the letter that read, quote, "We understand the difficulty of these upcoming decisions. As passionate and loyal Lions fans, we are asking you to hire Robert Saleh as the head coach of our team. He is the best candidate for the job and measures as such across every metric. A head coach like Robert can bring tremendous energy and heart to the franchise and would help us reach peaks that have seemed unattainable for so long. We have an exceptional opportunity here, and we trust you to make the best decision. To turn the corner and become a winning franchise, these next hiring decisions are critical. We hope that you will consider Robert Saleh as the head coach, not only for us, but for everyone across the loyal fan base of our beloved Detroit Lions." End quote. Then later, speaking with ESPN, Hamoud said, "In the time of COVID, also, we all kind of lean on our sports teams. We all kind of watch together. We watch, chat about it online, social media, whatever it might be. So we really want the Lions to succeed in some capacity." So they basically tied in COVID to it and said it would help heal mentally and psychologically Detroit Lions fans through the pandemic, because that's something they can all do during this, and it would make them feel a lot better if their team is winning during all of this, because not only is everything going on with the pandemic and shutdowns again now, and people not seeing each other as much as they would like, and businesses and just everything that's going on with it, and their team's losing on top of it. So pretty amazing stuff there. And so it sounds like a lot of people are on board with Robert Saleh becoming the next head coach of the Detroit Lions, and maybe the Lions themselves. There was recently on a podcast at the Pro Football Network, Tony Pauline, who's a draft insider, been doing draft stuff for a long time. He has some inside sources. And I don't know if these are scouts or actual decision makers in Detroit, or this is just speculation from other places around the league, that the native of Dearborn, Michigan, Robert Saleh, is somebody that they are considering and could be at the head of the list for the Detroit Lions for that head coaching job. So that's the first report we've heard from anybody who is a quote-unquote insider that has actually put that out there to say, yeah, this is what we're hearing, that they literally are considering this, and this is a very likely thing to happen. Everything else has been some speculation, and this might still be some speculation that's sort of turned into a source. Just because it's somebody who works in the league doesn't mean they actually know what the Lions are thinking and what they're going to do and what their short list of candidates actually looks like. But it makes a ton of sense, right? Because and Hamoud, in his statement there, did have something right, and we'll hear from Richard Sherman in a minute about this subject, is that his players play for him. His players believe, they buy in, they play hard for him. And when we saw how it ended with Matt Patricia and players basically giddy that he left and crushing him on social media and personalities just not meshing there and losing the locker room, I think Robert Saleh would be a perfect leader of men to come in there, and that would make a lot of sense for the Lions in that context. And obviously, you know, he's from Dearborn, Michigan. As I mentioned, he played at Northern Michigan. He coached at Central Michigan. He coached at Michigan State. So he's a Michigan guy. Definitely some smoke there with Robert Saleh potentially leaving the 49ers to become a head coach. I think he'll get interviewed by multiple teams. The Detroit Lions just makes a lot of sense on a lot of levels. Now we're getting more reports, and at least the people in Michigan sound like they would rally around the idea of Robert Saleh becoming the next head coach of the Detroit Lions. But a long time to go before, well, actually not that long, but a month potentially to go before that could actually happen. Man, 2021 has felt like so far away for so long. I mean, it's a month away. The 49ers' last game of the regular season is less than a month away now. And talk about a contrast between what was going on in the Lions locker room with Matt Patricia and currently what's happening with Robert Saleh's defense and the love fest that's going on there between coaches and players. Let's hear from Robert Saleh. Let's hear from Richard Sherman about his coach, Saleh about Sherman, Saleh about Jimmy Ward. Jimmy Ward's fired up, and we'll hear from the head coach, Kyle Shanahan, next. Some great press conference audio this week from multiple sources around the 49ers as they shift to a new home in Arizona for the time being, potentially for the rest of the season. And even if it goes into next year, potentially, there's really no end to this right now. We're not sure how long that's going to last in Santa Clara County. So for now, the Niners are camping. They're going to play 3 out of 4 games in Arizona, so I can't imagine they're going to come back before that. Brandon Ayuk is back. DJ Jones is back. They have both been activated off the COVID reserve list, both full participants in practice this week, good to go, and should be deployed fully on Monday Night Football. And this injury report is shrinking for the 49ers. One of the biggest reasons the 49ers have potential to make a run this season at this thing is getting healthy, getting the team back that they thought they were going to have in 2020. So we get Brandon Ayuk back. Debo Samuel with his hamstring was limited in practice earlier this week. They were just making sure, because he's been dealing with a hamstring injury, not to ramp him up too much after all the work he had Sunday. But he's going to be playing, and he was fully participating in practice Friday. So we get Debo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk activated from the COVID list. Raheem Mostert came back last week and looked explosive as usual. The 49ers, it's been 2 months since they've had those guys on the field together. Still no Jimmy Garoppolo, obviously. Still no Kittle, but some weapons for Nick Mullins in the 49ers offense. Some explosive playmakers there against a team that we heard from Joe Marino on Thursday's crossover episode, the host of Locked On Bills. It's not a great tackling defense in Buffalo. So that's where the 49ers are going to win this game and put up points on offense, is those playmakers, those guys with the balls in their hands. Nickel cornerback. We'll hear more about Emmanuel Mosley being that starting nickel guy. He's been limited in practice this week with a hamstring. He is expected to play Monday night. Kaywan Williams, not expected to play Monday night. He is still not practicing with his high ankle sprain. And Jordan Willis, also another one who's coming off of the COVID reserve list this week. And that's the injury report for the 49ers leading into Monday Night Football in Week 13. We'll have some updates Monday morning about those after Saturday's practice and how things go this weekend. But it's looking pretty good for the 49ers. Just about everybody who's in that questionable tier is most likely going to play against the Bills. Good news there. Got to start with Sherman and his quotes on Robert Saleh about the job Saleh has done this season and if he believes Robert Saleh should and will be a head coach in the very near future.
You have to give him an unusual amount of credit, and I don't think he's getting enough credit, not only here, but in the league in general. You know, to have the injuries that we've had week after week after week, the setbacks week after week, we lose two D linemen in the bye week. We don't know. We have uncertainty. We lose backers throughout the week. We got guys who can't practice. Kinlaw barely got to practice on a Friday. You know, it's week after week, and he never makes an excuse. And statistically, we're still a top five defense in almost every category. You know, I expect him to be a head coach next year because of what he's able to do. You know, he's able to rally men. You know, he's a leader of men, and that goes a long way.
Sherman pounding the table, literally, for his defensive coordinator, Robert Saleh, to get that head coaching gig. And I think that respect around the league is starting to grow. I think people are starting to talk more about Robert Saleh, even in a bad year, a down year for the 49ers record-wise. I think a lot of people are recognizing the same thing Sherman is talking about. And obviously, he was way on the radar because of the 49ers having the best defense in the NFL last year that he was in charge of. Then Friday, Sherman talked about the latest curveball in the 2020 season and what it's like to be now in Arizona, what it's like for the team versus a year last year that, by comparison, the 49ers seemed blessed in 2019 with the run they went on.
Well, I mean, these are pros, you know. I mean, we've kind of been through this the whole time. And, I mean, you can't sit there and bond and play cards and shoot the stuff, but you can play video games, and that's what's cool about technology. We can sit there on mics and play video games and still social distance and have a good time and still have some version of brotherhood. And Kyle and them are doing a great job with the internet. Cray's working on it now, increasing the bandwidth. So that's, you know, that's another way for us to bond. You know, you can't, in situations like this, I mean, we're getting to do what we love. Regardless of the circumstances, there are people out there losing jobs, losing houses, you know, huge, having huge issues, you know, and we just feel sorry for the, you know, the county of Santa Clara that we can't do more. You know, when you get kicked out, you know, there are so many guys that are active in the community and the holidays are coming up and we can't go back and give away gifts and be able to help the people in need. You know, that's the unfortunate part of this situation. But, you know, in terms of what we got to do, you know, it's very minimal.
The pros, they've been dealing with this all year. Just another bump in the road for Richard Sherman, and competitive, and he doesn't seem too worried about it. I love the video games comment that he made there. That's a very, like, dad, the internet went out, very much like a teenager in the house, and the dad, in this case, Kyle Shanahan's got to go fix the internet, make sure everybody can stream all their shows at the same time, the kids can be on the internet playing video games with their buddies. It's very much a camp environment, right? It's like going away to college for the team right now at the end of a season, all of a sudden, and they're camping out. It's almost like full circle. It's like training camp in December. Another interesting comment from Sherman, don't need to play the audio, but he talked about his calf injury. He said it's not a chronic thing, but they were able to identify some underlying problems with his calf and his leg and get everything fixed. So might have caused him to miss a little bit more time now, but it should be better going forward. So that's good news for Sherman that maybe this is not a chronic thing. Maybe it was not related to his Achilles injury before. Maybe that was what he's getting at, and they fixed up some remnants of that old Achilles injury. But that seems to be good news, and he seemed to be moving around pretty darn well last Sunday against the Rams, and Kyle Shanahan on KNBR saying that Sherman is very much in the 49ers' plans going forward. It's one thing to want Sherman back. It's another thing to be able to fit everybody under the cap next year, but we'll get more into the offseason at a later date when it comes to Richard Sherman. It is probably not surprising that Robert Saleh, Sherman's coach, that he went to bat for vocally in the press, in the public, is quite fond of his star cover guy as well.
I always expect Sherm to have, you know, he had a big pep in his step, you know, he was excited to get back out there. But Sherm for his whole entire career has always won with mind over athleticism. Not to say that he's not an athlete or anything, but he has always played the mental part of the game, and that's why he's able to have that longevity. He is so far ahead of everybody with regards to scheme, technique, how to play certain things, and you know, the great ones always find the ball, whether they're in man coverage, zone coverage, it doesn't matter. They just find the ball, and there's a reason why he has 40 interceptions in his career. He just, You can try throwing his way. You just never know where he's not. You just never know when he's going to be somewhere where he's not supposed to. And that's from his film study and all the different thing, all the different work he puts into it.
Richard Sherman isn't the only 49ers defensive back that Robert Saleh is extremely fond of either. He went into even more detail about his safety slash cornerback slash strong safety box guy, deep guy, week 12 locked on 49ers game ball haver, Jimmy Ward.
So playing the slot, there's so much more involved in playing the slot than just man coverage. There's a zone instincts and feel. Jimmy's got all those instincts and feels, but to just throw him in there without having exhausted a lot of or spent a lot of reps or used up a lot of reps for him to get more feel would be irresponsible to him. It'd be a waste of his athleticism and all the things that he can do. But from a man coverage standpoint, and it's why he doesn't get a lot of plays. It's why he doesn't get a lot of stats. I mean, the guy absolutely eliminates whoever he has in man coverage. If you just go back through the history of him playing all his man coverage reps, he doesn't get action because people are gone. It's done. His press coverage skills are unbelievable. His off-catch technique is unbelievable. His foot speed is unbelievable. So it doesn't matter. Tight ends, jitterbugs, big receivers, he handles all of them. And so he's been a victim of his dominance because people see splash plays, people see stats, people who are really in tune to the game or who are casual fans don't see the dominance he displays in man coverage when he gets those ops. And so for us, I mean, it's like having dime on the football field without ever having to go dime. And now that he's in the box more often, it just disguises that dime a little bit more. So being able to shift in and out of man coverage, having him on the field. So because he does have zone coverage skills and he can play a half and he can play quarters and he can play a buzz technique and he can play a hook. I mean, he does everything. And he is the ultimate utility knife, and he's not one of those guys who just does a couple things good, a jack of all trades. He dominates at everything he does, and because of that, he's unique. He's rewritten the book for us on what we want out of a safety moving forward.
Wow, rewritten the book about what he and his scheme would be the ideal at a position. I mean, that's saying a lot. I think Richard Sherman is that in a cover three defense for cornerback. And that's saying a lot. And he's coached Earl Thomas. That's big praise put on Jimmy Ward there and what he could potentially do in the defense. Those comments, though, let you know that there's not plans for Ward to be the nickel corner to replace Kaywan Williams, who's going to be out. And Jamar Taylor, who now tore ACL, he will be out for the rest of the season. It is not going to be Jimmy Ward in that role, and they're not going to practice him there and get him ready to do that, even though he could do some of those things. That is going to fall on the shoulders of Emmanuel Mosley, who Robert Saleh, guess what, is also quite fond of.
It's a difficult move in the sense, you know, he's been training in there. We've been giving him some reps. Obviously, a majority of his reps have been corner, but, you know, there's a different sense of urgency that happens in the slot, and he is very aware, and he knows exactly what he needs to get done, and so we've been able to work him. We're very comfortable with Mosley in there, and it's just getting a little bit of reps, kind of acquainting yourself with it, with the position, and understanding exactly what's being asked of you. It's drill work, the ball out break stuff, the little things that he can clean up that are completely controllable from his spot. Now, when it gets to man coverage and zone coverage, like Mosley has proven time and time again that he's a reliable player who can win more often than not. And so we're very comfortable with Mosley in there against whoever happens to be the slot. And Beasley, obviously, he is a extremely talented receiver, has been for a while, and so it is a challenge, but Mosley is awesome. So he's been putting in the work, and there's no doubt he's going to pick up where Jamar left off.
Yeah, and I think there's potential for Mosley to be better than Jamar Taylor in the slot. I don't think the 49ers are going to be in trouble there. I think it makes depth a lot thinner now. Kelly Witherspoon has been a healthy scratch at outside corner. He's going to have to be active and be the main backup on the outside. Mosley going to get the work, and he has talked about Saleh talked about the urgency of cornerbacks or nickel corners, and there's a lot to do. You've got to stop the run. You're inside. You're where the trees are in there. You're going to be covering tight ends. You're going to be covering running backs. You're going to be covering wide receivers. You got to set the edge sometimes. You got to blitz sometimes. Trigger against the run. And Emmanuel Mosley, from what I've seen, has no problem doing any of that. So I think he's a nice fit for the 49ers, and he's really athletic too. So a good fit for Emmanuel Mosley to play inside, and potentially an upgrade, I think, after a few weeks of practice there over Jamar Taylor. When you have Rhett on the outside along with Richard Sherman, it's a nice combo of defensive backs. Jimmy Ward and Tarvarius Moore coming along. I like it. I think the 49ers are confident in the defensive backfield and playing really well. That is definitely not going to be a problem for the 49ers down the stretch, with the caveat of injuries. Injuries and depth there could potentially be a problem. But right now, I think they're well covered. I think their starting unit, nickel base, is going to be quite all right. Coming up, we will hear from Jimmy Ward. I'm going to save that one for last because I think he's going to get people pumped for their weekend. And, of course, head coach Kyle Shanahan to finish up this Friday episode of Locked On 49ers. You know what? I have one more from Robert Saleh. I really want to play this one before we get to the head man in Kyle Shanahan. Saleh talked about that play, that pick six from Javon Kinlaw. And this is how I know Robert Saleh is ready to be a head coach. Find the message between the lines here. The coach speak from Robert Saleh talking about what was a really big play in that game, in that 49ers win. They might not have won the game without this play.
There is a fine line where you never want players to be robots. The one example I'll give was Richard Sherman was in man coverage on his interception, but he has the wherewithal and he felt he was in such good position and he knew what route he was getting that he was able to play with vision, which is a very, very hard thing to do in man coverage, to be able to play with vision back to the quarterback. And so he knew the route, he knew the play, so he was able to stay disciplined. Now, at that point, you did your job, and it's time to not become a robot and to do more than what the coach is asking you to do or what the play is supposed to is asking you to do. And so he had whipped the quarterback over through the seven cut, and he intercepts it. To Javon, right now it's I'm a little hesitant to trust his the instincts part, but he's proving over and over and over again that he's right. So New Orleans disrupting a screen, he's getting his hands on balls at the D-line level. He bounced off, and you know we do got to press him. We don't want him being in a low plugger in a pass rush situation ever. But there's just certain things the kid feels, and he doesn't know why he's feeling it. He just ends up in a spot, and more often than not, he's right. And I'm not going to say that we're encouraging it from him. We're trying to figure out exactly what he's seeing, and he's building trust. But it is. We always challenge those guys to do more than what the play is asking you to do. And if they feel something, they feel something. And it'll be hard for them to articulate. But great ones have a different type of feel to the game and understanding. And he's got to continue proving it to us. But right now, we want him to go vertical and go get the quarterback.
So if you don't remember how that play went, it was Givens who actually got the pressure, and Javon Kinlaw started to rush the passer and kind of peeled off and dropped back a little bit. His initial pass rush was thwarted, and it ended up being a bad throw, and it was thrown right to Kinlaw. He caught it, and he took it the distance. He housed it. So it was a big play, and there was a lot of people clamoring for Kinlaw to get a game ball from me, and I thought the play was actually made from Givens. It was a good play by Kinlaw, don't get me wrong, but I think Givens would get it first. And then you listen to Robert Saleh there. He did not really like that play. That wasn't the design. He basically was saying that Javon Kinlaw hasn't earned the right, like someone like Richard Sherman has, to freelance out there. I thought it was really interesting hearing him speak that way. And it was some head coach level coach speak from Robert Saleh. And also listening to John Lynch, who was on KNBR earlier this week, he flat out said it. He didn't mix words as much as Robert Saleh did. He told Kinlaw, look, we drafted you to rush the quarterback. And he thought it was some endurance issues, and maybe he was a little bit gassed, Kinlaw was, and didn't keep coming at the quarterback like he was supposed to. Now, it ended up being a big play, and so you can't say it was a bad play. And some good instincts there from Kinlaw, knowing he's not going to get home with his pass rush, and he's done that actually multiple times this year and batted balls down, and so he's made some plays doing that. But they don't want him doing it. And so when you hear Lynch say it and you hear Robert Saleh say it, it was a huge play in that game, but they didn't really like it. They don't want him doing that. So I thought that was really interesting how something that they don't want a player doing ends up being a really positive play and a really big play. So it's a plus and a minus for Javon Kinlaw there, as he is probably graded by his own team. Richard Sherman, we heard from him earlier talking about, you know what, I think mental health would be okay as long as his broadband is wide enough and he can play video games and they can have some social interaction with his teammates playing video games or whatever while they're doing their thing and have all of their facilities and everything happening in Arizona for the next few weeks. Kyle Shanahan was talking about, though, some other players might not be as down with it. They might not be having as easy of a time transitioning in this crazy 2020 season. Mental health, I think, has to be a factor and something that you really have to monitor with players and other staffers in the 49ers organization. Head coach included, how's Shanahan getting through this thing?
I mean, I'm all right. I mean, you can get through anything when you know the time of it. I mean, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, whatever it is, we'll be all right. It's not the end of the world. I'm not trying to talk about all this stuff for every week. It was just more the disappointment of people got to make decisions. Everyone's got their job to do, and that's not my profession. And you guys know what mine is and what I feel I'm good at. I just like communication, that's all, and how people treat each other, most human beings. So that's what we were disappointed with, and we got to deal with this situation just like a lot of people are dealing with stuff, not just the Niners. I mean, all over football. I know we're the only ones who've had to move, but all over the country. I mean, so everyone's got to deal with stuff. You don't want to sit here and be woe is me. There's just a way to do it, and that's what we were bothered with. You adjust, you see what you got to deal with, and you move on. I know everyone's dealing with their own little things. I mean, now's the easy part, just because we got here on a work day, and we're going hard all the way till our game on Monday. So it's more the times after that. And the things I just try to stress to people is everyone's going to be at different levels. And some people are going to deal with this different than others. And someone who hits that wall, whatever it is, I mean, you read about the NBA players in the bubble and all the mental issues they went through and stuff. And, you know, those guys were at least allowed to hang with each other. You know, we're not. So we're basically just in rooms here. Haven't seen the guys except when we Zoom meet them. And then when we go out to the field for walkthroughs. So it's not like we're in a bubble hanging out. So those things will build up on guys, and each guy will handle it differently. So I just try to tell everyone, no matter what, when someone has a problem, whatever it is, there's no problem too big or too small. And a lot of guys keep that stuff internally. But, you know, I met with a bunch of the players, and I grabbed about 20 of them last night and just told them to look out for that stuff and make sure that whether they come to me, a position coach, we have lots of people here who aren't coaches or players who can help people. So it's just understanding that it's human nature. Some stuff's going to come up over the next 3 weeks, and no one ignore it. Just always bring it to someone's attention, because the worst thing you could be in these situations is feel kind of alone on an island. And we got a big group going through it, so we can rally together and make sure we help each other through it.
And Sherman, Shanahan, you know, kind of cut from the same cloth. I think a little bit competitiveness gets you through it. It's like, look, let us know what we have to do. We're professionals. We'll figure it out. We'll get it done. It's pretty clear the 49ers weren't very happy with the county of Santa Clara shutting things down so quickly and not giving them a heads up. They were literally on the bus on the way to the Rams game, and they find out, man, if this game goes into overtime, we don't get back by midnight, this thing's shut down. I mean, it was a pretty crazy bit of timing for the 49ers to have to move everything. So pretty amazing what the staff, the everybody involved with the 49ers organization outside of the actual team and players and coaches, what they were able to do to move everything so quickly to Arizona, be up and running and practicing this week and getting ready for Monday Night Football. It's pretty wild. Couple more here. Shanahan on the frustration of not having all of his weapons healthy to run his offense. I mean, Shanahan's an offensive guy. His offensive genius. He works all offseason long, has these plans. He hasn't had his guys on the field. Obviously, still no Jimmy Garoppolo, no George Kittle. It's been 7 weeks since Mostert, Debo, Ayuk were all on the field together. So at least he gets some of his pieces back. And he talked about that frustration and what things have been like without those guys and how it's hampered his offense this year.
That's frustrations you deal with every year as a coach. I know this year has probably definitely been the worst. So it's been frustrating, not just for me, but everyone in the building. I'm sure the fans too. And I definitely know those guys. We got some young guys who I know are going to only get better, that we got the right guys and stuff. And I know they're made of the right stuff. They play through stuff. They play hard, and they've just been unfortunate with some things. And it's a matter of time. I've kind of been hoping that all year, and we're getting here where we got five left in the scheduled season, and I'm really glad that we got them both out now. But the goal isn't to just, all right, let's unload all this stuff. Let's try to stack some days. I mean, every time I've gone confident with 3 days stacked, it's kind of been taken away. So it's just one day at a time. It was great to get Ayuk back today. You know, this is the first time we've seen him in a little bit. I know Debo's a little bit sore, so he's not going to do as much today. And we'll see how Raheem is out there. But just getting all these guys back, it just brings some continuity to everyone. I know it's a lot easier for the quarterbacks too. And if I had to give you one thing just as a whole, as a group, I really want to cut down on our turnovers. I mean, that's the games we've lost, our turnovers have gotten way carried away. And I thought they did last Sunday too. We were fortunate that our defense had four. That to me is the first thing we got to fix. And having guys out there a little bit more, I think, will give us a better chance to do that.
I think it's really funny right there how Shanahan wasn't asked about turnovers, but that's where his mind is as a coach. He's like, you know what really makes me mad is the turnovers. I mean, this COVID thing and this pandemic's one thing. I don't care about Arizona. I care about the stinking turnovers. We got to fix those. And that's big, man. The 49ers turnover differential on the season is -4. And in the wins, they've been +6. In their losses, they've been -10 in turnover differential. And that translates. It's one of the biggest factors and remains to be that way in the NFL. Last one here. This is from Jimmy Ward, and I wanted to end with this quote. I think we'll get some folks pumped for their weekend. This is Jimmy Ward feeding off the haters, and he was really feeling it. I don't know if he just pounded a Built Go before he took the podium on this one, but I mean, he's ready to go. He's ready to play like right now.
Oh, it's still negative stuff out there. It's just still negative. It'll never be all positive. And I'm just saying that's cool for my teammates. My teammates, you know, they thought highly of me last year and a lot of years. It's just I had to put it together, and just I finally got some balls out, man. Some turnovers, and, you know, that was a question mark. Can he get the ball? And I still didn't even get any interceptions, so I don't even see what the big deal about. To me, I feel like it's still a lack of respect, and that's cool because that's better for me. You know, it gives me that fire. It makes me go out there and give it my all. Like, even though I got paid, and that's cool and all that, but that's not all I want. I want everything, and that's how I play too. Like, if you can't tell I'm play, like I play like how I talk, how I play. It's just, it all starts in practice, and I don't know. It's just, even just thinking about football right now, I'm starting to feel that fire inside of me. But other than that, just get to the next question, because I'm just feeling like game day right now.
Feeling like game day. Well, you have to wait an extra day. Monday night football this week, 49ers against the Bills. Get pumped. I'll be back Monday morning breaking down whatever there is left to break down with this one. Final injury report and the keys to victory in week 13.